Pray for us.
I had a little struggle last week. The Lord gave me this message two or 3 weeks ago when I preached it. Why, the Lord told me then he wanted me to preach it here. You know, and we fuss and argue with the Lord, you know, on some messages. And so the Lord laid this message on my heart to preach tonight. And so by his help and by his grace, I'm going to preach it. May get in hot water. But old brother Garner Smith calls me Hot Water Jones, you know. But he invited me to preach in the Bible Institute here a while back. Went down and preached, and he introduced me, you know. And he said something about Hot Water Jones. And I said, well, I got up there and I was waiting for him. I thought that afternoon that's what he'd do, you know. So I got up there and I said, well, the Bible does say something about being lukewarm and cold, you know. So we want to look here in this first chapter of Ruth. I'd like to begin reading with verse 1. We'll look at verse 25 of the last chapter, and that'll go right along with it. Here in Judges, the last verse there. In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, and both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest in each of you in the house of your husband. And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons of my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons. Would you tarry for them until they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. The hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do as to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. And so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, saying, The Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? See, now the Lord doesn't do things like that. What did he say? And say, Naomi, return, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. We want to preach tonight on the subject, running from your problems. Running from your problems. I believe that there's two mighty forces that's at work in our day. One force is pulling everything apart, while the other force is putting things back together again. We can see this throughout this, all the way through this book, but especially here in this first chapter. We see also today that sin is a destroyer, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the builder. And we need to get our lives together today. Our lives and our homes and our churches and our ministries are being pulled apart. And everything, it seems as though, is just crashing down all around us. Things are falling apart physically, mentally, socially, financially, and most of all, spiritually. And so, here in the book of Ruth, I believe we have a vivid account here of two widows, one young and the other old, who were able to put their lives together and find happiness and find fulfillment in the will of God. In the will of God. Now, in this first chapter of Ruth, we see that seems as though everything's falling apart. And so Naomi and her family, we see here, made some mistakes. And I can see three mistakes here that they made. The first mistake was that they were trying to run away from their problems. Oh, there's a famine, you know. Well, we're going to have to leave here. We're going to have to go down to Moab. The second mistake was that Naomi made was she was trying to cover up her disobedience. Does it sound familiar? And then the third mistake that Naomi made is found there in verses 19 through 21, where she became bitter against God. Now, if you want to destroy your life, then make these three mistakes. And I guarantee you that these steps will tear your life to pieces. And they'll begin to fall apart. We see here in verses 1 through 5 that a famine has come upon the people of Israel. And instead of trusting the Lord to provide, this family decides to pack up and go to Moab. Now, they decide to run away from their problems rather than facing their problems. And we often do that, don't we? Now, and we often ask the question, well, why do people run away from their problems? Well, one reason is the reason that Brother Smith gave. God is more than enough. But I want to suggest several possible reasons here tonight. And one of the first reasons is here. One reason why this family ran from their problems is they were living by sight and not by faith. They were living by sight and not by faith. When they looked at Bethlehem, the only thing that they could see was hunger and pain. Well, Moab appeared to be a land of plenty. And from God's point of view here tonight, their decision was wrong. Moab was a heathen country. It was a heathen land. And we see here that the Moabites worship false gods. And so, they thought the grass was greener on the other side of the fence. You know, a lot of Baptists do that. Yeah, they do. They look there, out there, on the land of plenty. They'll leave the truth. They'll go across town and see that great big monstrosity of a church. And their excuse most of the time is, I'm getting tired of getting beat over the head all the time. Your brother never heard that? That just happened a while back. They always have, you know, they won't come and tell you that themselves, but they'll always tell somebody that, you know, that's close to me or something that I'll get the message. You know. And that means you slack off on that. Don't you preach that no more. You know. But they have the tendency to see that the grass is a little bit greener on the other side of the fence. But I'll tell you what. There's a lot of members that have left the truth, and they've gone down there where they thought that the grass was greener on the other side of the fence. I'll tell you what. You better be careful. Lord, then you go and get. I mean, get going just as fast as you can get. But be sure that you're in the will of the Lord when you do it, because if you don't, and if you're not in the will of the Lord is liable to kill your husband and kill your two children too. You say, that's the way God used to work. Listen, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He changes not. See here that they were enemies of God. They were enemies of Israel. And these members that are running off and going off to all of these different churches, brother, they're enemies of Baptists.
Amen.
Instead of running away, the people should have run to the Lord. Bow down and confess their sin. But our Baptist people would just rather run off out of the will of God than to bow down before the Lord and the church and say, I'm sorry. You know it? They wasn't hitting that problem head on. And a lot of Baptists are not either. When you start living by sight and not by faith, you'll start running away from your problems, start running away from your sins instead of trusting the Lord to help you overcome them. Second reason why people run away from their problems is because they're living for the physical and not for the spiritual. Huh? What happened here? What'd they have their eyes on? What'd they have their mind on? What'd they have their heart set on? They had it set on the land of plenty. Didn't they? They were living for the physical and not for the spiritual. And some people will argue, well, Brother Jones, they had to live. Yeah. They had to do something. Listen, I'd rather be hungry and in the will of God than full and satisfied out of the will of God. Well, I want my children saved. And if I stay here, they won't be saved. You preaching lection all the time. That's right. They won't be saved out in Moab either. You're liable to lose them physically. You'll end up losing them physically and spiritually. Tell you what, members do that. Well, I'll tell you what, they've got everything over there at that church. They've got a swimming pool. They've got bowling alleys. They've got an exercising room. They've got billiards, whatever they call them, pool, whatever. I mean, they've got it all. But if I stay here, my kids won't be saved. There's no entertainment for them. You don't ever have anything for them. And so they'll run off out of the will of God and go join a so-called Baptist church like that. And as all they've got their eyes and their mind and their heart on is on the physical and not the spiritual. And brethren, this is getting worse. Your brother didn't have to worry about preaching that 20, 30 years ago, did you? But I'll tell you what, it's here. And that's what a lot of Baptists have got their minds and their hearts and their eyes set on the physical instead of the spiritual. God called your pastor to do what? To feed you.
Amen.
Feed you what? This. Is that all? That's all God ever told you to use. That's the only thing that'll do you any good, physically and spiritually. That's right. You know, the first temptation that Satan presented to the Lord Jesus Christ was a choice between the physical and the spiritual. Wasn't it? And Jesus did not give in to the temptation to put his needs before the will of God. I'll tell you what, this business of being in the will of God is a lot more serious than a lot of Baptists realize. Did you know it? Baptists today seem to think that they can go do anything they want to. Whenever I get ready to pack up and get out of here, I'll just cut out. I'll just leave. They don't consider the Lord. The Lord's will in it and all this. Run up and go. Don't give it a thought for a minute. We better stop and think before we do anything. So it's far better for us to be poor and hungry in the will of God than to have all the comforts of life apart from the will of God. But people are more concerned for the physical than they are the spiritual. Esau put his physical desires before God's plan for his life. When we begin to put the physical ahead of the spiritual, we start living to please ourselves. We begin to think that the most important thing in life is to be comfortable, not to be comfortable to the will of God. And so people are more concerned about the most important thing in their lives. I went and talked to a couple boys in our church last 6 to 8 months and told them how serious this was. They were going to leave the church. You know, they were going to get a divorce from their wives and leave their wives, leave 6 children, 3 apiece in each family. Didn't 1 minute consider the will of God. See, how can they when they're that far out of the will of God? You know. And I told both of them. I said, are you ready to pay the price that you're going to have to pay for what you're about to do? You know, there's payday someday. There is consequences to sin. Amen. I believe the Lord has forgiven every sin that I've ever committed or ever will commit, but I believe that there's consequences there.
Amen.
So, what if our Lord had put the physical ahead of the spiritual? What if he had been more concerned about his own comfort and about his own pleasure than about doing the will of God? Where would we be today? Third reason why people run from their problems is because they're living for the world and not for the Lord. At this time, there was no king in Israel. The popular argument was, everyone's doing it. Why shouldn't we? That's right. And Naomi and her family made three wrong decisions. Number one, they decided to leave Bethlehem. Number two, they decided to go to Moab. And number three, after Elimelech died, Naomi allowed her two daughters, or two sons, to marry out of the will of God.
Amen.
To marry those women from Moab. Young people, you better listen. Don't you marry out of the will of God. Don't you marry outside the faith. You say, I'll change them after I marry them. Don't work. Doesn't work. It might work for a month or maybe a year. But that's it. Better get the will of the Lord in it. In fact, we better have the will of God when we make a move of any kind. That's right. Back to church. Leaving church. Got a lot of people leaving church, you know, just up and just leaving. Go join another church. Huh. That church will receive me. I'll go over there and I'll join by statement. Why not by letter? That shows exactly where they are right there. When you can't go join by letter, when I go to another church, I want to go by letter. Don't you? I want to go from the recommendation of that church that I was a member of. Don't you? And they'll go before that church and they'll go before the pastor and you know, churches are number conscious, you know. I mean, they just numbers, that's all they can see. You know, here's another member. And so they'll grab a hold of them and they'll receive them. And she'll say, or he'll say, I want to join by statement. Okay, sister, all right, brother. We'll notify your church that you joined by statement.
Isn't that something?
You know what I'm going to do? By the grace of God, I'm not going to recognize them till they get things right. Huh? That's right. That's one of our problems in our Baptist churches and amongst the fellowship of brethren today. If they'll receive them, they'll take them anyway that they can take them. First thing I'm going to do, why can't you join by letter? That's the first question you ought to be asked. Let's go by letter. Let's write to that church and ask them for a letter. And then if that church is found to be not sound, then we'll go this route. Tell you what, this granting and receiving letters is serious business to me. It is. And so, third problem was that they were living for the world and not for the Lord. Today, the problem is that people are conforming to the world with its rebellious atmosphere. And attitudes. I tell you what, when you leave the Lord and His church, there's only one place to go, and that's down to Moab. It's only one place to go. Where are you going to go? You're going to go out in the world. And when we start running away from our problems, we're living for the world and not for the Lord. You say, well, grace of God will take care of that. It sure will. But there are some things that the grace of God teaches us. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we will live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Amen. But our excuses becomes everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it. And we start doing that which is right in our own eyes. Isn't that it? Fourth reason why people run from their problems is that they ignore the real source of their problem. Their own heart. Their own heart. When Naomi and Elimelech and their two sons went to Moab, what did they take with them? Their problems. Took them with them. What was their problem? The spiritual deterioration in their own heart. They were the problem. They were the problem. They were proud because they believed that they could manipulate and manage their own lives and do a better job of it than God was doing. Do you know what? We've got a lot of Baptist church members think the same thing. They'll get to a place in their life when they think that they can manipulate and they can manage their own lives better than what God can. You know, our kids do that too, you know it? They'll reach a certain age. They'll get to the place where they're 16, 17, 18 years old, and they think that they can manage and that they can manipulate their own lives without the leadership of God. And they get out there in the world and they make a mess of their life. You know, it don't take but that long, young people. Church member. It don't take but that long. I'll tell you what. A lot of times God will permit them. He permit us to go. Won't He? But that's sad. I see church members. I see them do this and it cuts me to pieces. They think they can manage. They think that they can manipulate their own life. Can't do it. No way. And so the source of most of our problems are inside, not outside. This was the problem here. It was inside with them. It wasn't outside. But I'll tell you what, a backslidden church member will want to blame it on the outside. They'll want to blame it on the preacher. You know? They won't blame it on themselves. They won't take any responsibility for it. They want to throw it on the preacher. Well, the preacher's got to have his own way all the time. No, that ain't it. That ain't it at all. I'll tell you what. I realize that the preachers are not always right. But I'll tell you one thing I do know. That the pastor is always your pastor.
Right.
Always. But we blame circumstances. And we even blame God. But when we reach to the root of the problem, we're the ones that's to blame. Biggest part of the time. And we repeat the same mistakes. Old mistakes. Naomi and her family traveled 50 miles from Bethlehem to Moab. And it was a trip that took them out of the will of God. Took them out of the will of God. They planned to sojourn in Moab just for a while. How long did they stay down there? Huh? 10 years. 10 years. What happened? Everything fell apart. Young people, you think you can manage and manipulate your life? Get out there in the world. Listen, you better listen. Can't do it. Can't do it. How'd the prodigal son fare? Where'd he end up? Ended up in the hog pen. He said, "Well, Brother Jones, I'm on my way. You don't have to go all the way. You can turn back right now and go back. You don't have to go on all the way." So, these were some of the problems. fruitful fields of Moab became a cemetery for Naomi's husband and her two sons. Are we taking this thing serious tonight? Are we taking this thing, being in the will of God, serious? I mean, this is serious. Nah, Lord won't do that. Lord won't do that to me. Because I've got two or three children. You know. Instead of having hope, Naomi became hopeless. God had to discipline this family to bring Naomi back where she belonged. Got to do that to every family here. Saved by the grace of God. He'll do it. It never, 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 never pays to rebel against God. That's right. Never. So listen tonight. You cannot run from your problems. The only way you can face them tonight is with the Lord. And may we start living for the Lord and not for the world. And we can't do a better job with our lives than the Lord can. Can do it. May the Lord help us to live for the spiritual and not for the physical. All right, Brother Titus.
Amen. Amen.